You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Allison Renborg in Nashville, Tennessee. And you are listening to the monthly Equine Affair episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, January 15th, episode 3863. This episode is brought to you by Equine Affair. Good morning, Horse World.
It's the third Thursday of the month. That means it's time for the Equine Affair episode, North America's premier equine expo and equestrian gathering.
Well, Happy New Year, Allison, and Happy New Year to the gang over there at Equine Affair, getting ready for April.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you and yours. I cannot believe it's 2026.
Yeah, me either. I was just saying, wasn't it just 2020? It's like...
Right?
Yesterday.
That was 6 years ago.
The pandemic was 6 years ago. Is that hard to believe or what?
That's hard to believe.
In some ways, that seems like yesterday. In some ways, it seems like 20 years ago.
So, right?
Yeah, no.
My child was just a twinkle in my eye at that point. I hadn't even started the fertility treatments at that point. I was like still afraid. and now she's here.
And you have a beautiful kiddo.
Tornado, yes. She's a beautiful tornado.
What's coming up on this episode for the Equine Affair?
Yeah, so we have an exciting episode. We're walking on the western side of things, which I know will make our Ohio fans happy. Today, we're going to be chatting with Zoe Woodland. She is a cutting horse and a cowwork trainer who's just a little bit south of Columbus. So she is an Ohio native.
Cutting is so popular now. It is.
It's so popular.
It's one of the fastest growing disciplines.
Well, and I believe it because it's so much fun to watch.
It is, and
it's fun to do. Like, it is. I have done, like, 5 seconds of it, as I share later in the show.
Jennifer's done it too, and she said the hardest part was just getting out of the worst way. You know, but she would do that again in a minute. Jamie's done it too, and she loves it too.
It was the most fun 5 seconds of my entire career in horses, and that's saying a lot. So, and I didn't fall off. So we'll hear about that from Zoe. And then we're going to have Jason Brooks, who's the vice president of marketing for NRS, or National Ropers Supply. So it really is all kinds of Western today on the show, and that's exciting.
NRS is huge.
It's ginormous. Yeah. You can get everything there.
They're huge. They're enormous. I see them at WESA all the time, and they have one of the biggest booths there, you know, and just everything.
Well,
but you have a lot of exciting announcements too coming up about April in Ohio.
I do. So I'm really excited about this one. I'll just start with the most exciting one, the Breed Pavilion. You know, the Breed Pavilion, we have all kinds of horses there. People can mix and mingle with the horses, take pictures, pet their noses. So we decided to start theming our Breed Pavilions. We kind of wanted to take a step in their evolution. So this spring is going to be our first ever themed Breed Pavilion. And the theme is Bred for Speed. So most people hear that and they think, oh, thoroughbreds. Okay, well, I don't, you know. But we're not just talking about racing. We're talking about all kinds of breeds and types of horses bred for speed. So we're planning on featuring thoroughbreds, obviously, standardbreds. We could not feature standardbreds, but also racing quarter horses and barrel racers and pole benders and team penners and the Icelandics. And so any horse that is made for speed or does something speedy, that's what the theme of the Breed Pavilion is going to be this year.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
I thought so.
Yeah. I like that.
And it's not, you know, we'll also have the other breeds there. It's not to say that we won't, but we're going to have a real focus on speed. So if you've ever been curious about those kinds of horses or wanted to see all of those different breeds in one place, that's going to be the place to do it. And then we're going to move on to different themes in the coming years. So it won't always be speed. We'll be changing it up to do strength. We might do a draft horse feature. The sky's the limit, basically. So we're really excited about that.
Cool. And you've announced the presenters now too, the clinicians?
We have. We have quite a few coming, already booked. We've got them on the website. We have more that we're working on. I know Kogi and Lori are feverishly finalizing our lineup because we've got less than 100 days to go, believe it or not. But yes, we have John Lyons. The OG Lyons is coming. We've got Dan James coming, of course. So that's exciting. We have your favorite people, Jason and Bronwyn Irwin.
I was just talking to him the other day. So, I love those two.
They're awesome. Ben Longwell, Gabby Reuter, who was just in Massachusetts, and we fell in love with her. She's amazing. The Wild Horse Summit is coming. We have lots of cool stuff lined up and lots of great people coming to share about it.
Very cool. And then you have the old standbys coming back, I assume?
We do. The Versatile Horse and Rider competition. We could not have that. I think people would like revolt if we didn't have the VHRC. And it's always a blast. And then we've got to see what cool jacket Noah is going to wear this year. I think he got a special gifted jacket for Christmas that he's planning on wearing. So that's kind of become famous. And speaking of the jacket, you weren't in Massachusetts, but the competitors have kind of, I think Noah has led a fashion revolution because we had like, I would say a quarter of the competitors were wearing sparkles. So like they've decided to follow his lead and dress sparkly for the VHRC.
Well, there's enough sparkles for sale at Equine Affair. You won't have a problem finding it. So
yes. That is true. So I was very excited to see that. They have really taken off. And the jacket thing was just totally Noah, like doing Noah things. And now it's become like a staple. So we got to see what he's going to wear. We'll have a VHRC fashion show. And then the breed bonanza, which we just introduced a couple of years ago, people love that. And that is, of course, our all breed competition where all the breeds come in and compete against each other. Everybody really loves that. I love it too. They get all dressed up. It's very fun. So we will have that back as well. And then, do you remember the Great Equestrian Fitness Challenge?
Oh, yeah. A couple years ago.
So, yes. So we had it for a few years, and it was really fun. And then we, you know,
they did non-riding things, right? They were
correct
throwing hay bales and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. Throwing hay bales, carrying 5-gallon water buckets. What else did they do? They like climbed over cattle panels.
And, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I think they carried scoops of feed, like they had to run really fast. So we're not bringing that back in its original form, but we are going to do something a little cowboy inspired. So
but still a fitness challenge?
It's still a fitness challenge, but yeah, it's a little cowboy inspired, and I will leave it to people's imagination for now.
Now I want.
But yeah, no, maybe I can tempt you to come back.
Ashley,
you can compete in it.
I think we've confirmed that Ashley's going to be representing this year, so she'll be there.
Oh, good.
And perfect. She'll be doing the shows with you from there and all of that. So I think that's confirmed. I'll let you know next month. I'm not
lovely.
The boss anymore, so I don't make those decisions. So
yeah.
But I will miss
how
you.
How are you coping with that?
I'm fine. Oh, no, I'm coping quite well. I need a T-shirt that says it's not my problem. Talk to Ashley. I think that's a T-shirt I need now. But you know, how would you like to win a special weekend getaway to Equine Affair in Ohio? Enter the My Equine Affair Moment Contest, and you can win a getaway. Log on to the website and submit your story of how Equine Affair has impacted your life, and you'll be entered into a contest to win a pair of 4-day admission tickets, a pair of tickets to Fantasia, and 4 nights in a hotel for the 2026 Equine Affair in Ohio. So you did this in Massachusetts, right? Didn't we talk about this?
We did.
Yeah.
We did it last summer, late last summer, and we had such a good time. And
we had the winner on, if I remember right.
We had the winner on. It was amazing, and we thought, we'll do it again for Ohio. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, you get another chance,
so
it's going to be really fun.
Is there a link off the homepage, or I'll put the link in the show notes, but there's a link off the homepage as well?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
But we'll definitely put it in the show notes.
Give an example of the kind, the winner last year, give an example of what they did and why they won to give people an idea of what they're going to submit.
Yes. So it was actually the mother of a young girl who she they'd been coming to Equine Affair for many years as a mother-daughter bonding experience. And when the girl was really, really little, she ran into Sam Rettinger and the draft horses, the Whispery Pines Percherons, and she was watching them. And he saw her watching, you know, who can resist a little girl watching horses? And he invited her under the ropes to come pet the draft horses. And she fell in love with draft horses that day. And so then they kept coming back year after year after year, and they would see the Rettingers, and then they slowly developed a relationship with them. And so really the Rettingers became mentors to this girl, and she fell in love with one of their horses in particular, and they invited her to the farm, and she rode the horse, and she got to do all kinds of amazing things with the Rettinger's photos and things like that. And then when she grew up and got old enough, she decided she wanted her own draft horse. So they went out and they bought a Percheron of their own, and it's just completely changed their lives. Coming to Equine Affair, meeting the Rettingers, it changed the course of their whole lives, and that was the story. And it was a really touching story. And then because they were coming to the event, I went out to meet them with the Rettingers, and we had the best interview. I shot a whole interview with them. It's going to be a great video. And it was just so much fun to watch them all together and go, they really are kind of a found family. It was really touching. So it was probably one of the most special experiences I had in Massachusetts, getting to meet them and see a story of how Equine Affair literally changed the lives of not just one person, but like four people. It was cool.
And we know many of you have stories like that have been gone for years and years and years. So head on over to equineaffair.com and submit yours, and you could win today. Let's introduce our first guest.
Yes. So our first guest is Zoe Woodland. She is a cutting and cow horse trainer. She has won over $350,000 in lifetime NCHA, that's National Cutting Horse Association earnings, and three All-American Quarter Horse Congress championships. She'll be coming to Equine Affair in Ohio to present on cutting and cow work as part of our Cowtown in Cooper, yay, sponsored by Western Life Today. So we are thrilled to have her on the show to share all about cutting. Well, hi, Zoe. Welcome to our show. You're the first guest of 2026 on the Equine Affair podcast.
Wow, that's exciting. Thank you.
Yes, it's very exciting. We're going from Z to A instead of A to Z.
Okay.
That never happens for Zoe. She's always last.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, with Zoe and then Woodland, you're always at the bottom of the alphabet.
Yep.
So you're actually based in Ohio, right? How far away are you from Columbus?
Yeah, so I'm actually just about 20 minutes south of Columbus. We're in Orient. So, yeah, really close.
She doesn't even need a hotel.
Nope.
Yeah. Now, have you been to Equine Affair before as like an attendee, or have you done anything with us before?
Yeah, I grew up going to Equine Affair. A lot of memories, my dad taking me. I've spent lots of hours watching clinics there and shopping, and we did a cutting demonstration for the Ohio Cutting Horse Association. It's probably been 7 or 8 years ago. We did just a demonstration in the overhang. So yeah, it's really exciting, you know, getting to grow up there and experience it. And now getting to be a clinician is a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, you kind of know it. You're going to know it from both sides. You know it from the attendee side, and now you're going to be up there teaching. And are you nervous about that, or?
I'm not really nervous. You know, I teach a ton of lessons in clinics, so, you know, pretty par for the course now. But I am very excited to get to be there. And I think, you know, cutting is an equestrian sport that maybe doesn't get showcased as much. And I think getting to show it in Ohio and hopefully get some people interested in it, that's the most exciting part for me.
I got to tell you, though, cutting is getting so popular now. It's one of those that just kind of came, I'm on the English side, it kind of came out of the nowhere. And all the English riders I know now are wanting to try cutting because they just think that's the most fun thing ever.
Yeah, well, it definitely is the most fun thing ever. But yeah, it's been cool to see it kind of blow up. And, you know, I definitely see it social media, you're seeing it more and more. And yeah, I think it's definitely starting to get more and more in the limelight. So
when you have an English rider wanting to try anything Western and it's cutting, you know, you made it.
Right? Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yep.
Well, cause it's exciting. It's exciting even to watch it. And is that what you like? Is it the speed? What do you think it is that makes cutting so appealing to people all of a sudden? Like, what is that?
I mean, there's a lot of factors. It's definitely one of the more exciting sports. I think it's a really watchable sport. You know, even if you know absolutely nothing about the objective, it's still entertaining to watch. You know, I think everybody's always in awe of the horses, especially when they first see them, you know, how much instinct they have. For me, I think a lot of it too is the unpredictability. You know, I grew up starting out with dressage and reining and pleasure, and, you know, which I enjoy just riding horses, period. But cutting has always kind of drawn me in more because it's different every time, you know, and there's so many factors to it, and there's always more to learn. You know, it's not just about riding and training. You know, you've got to learn to read cattle and watch cattle. And it almost turns into a team sport too. You've got to learn to communicate with your help, and, you know, there's a lot to it. So, but yeah, it's definitely one of the more exciting sports for sure.
Well, and there's nothing better than you're riding an animal that you can't speak English, and then you add another animal that can't speak English, and then you're all speaking different languages, and you got to work together to get this cow to go one direction, and the cow is inevitably going to go another direction. It's like, what?
Yeah,
what
can be absolutely. Better? Absolutely.
So starting out in dressage, and then you said dressage and reining, but I mean, that is two different, you know, that's English and Western. So you're kind of like, you've been in both worlds from the get-go.
I've been all over the place my whole life, and I still teach different disciplines and ride different disciplines. I start a lot of barrel horses, and I still teach and ride hunt seat. Like I said, I'm just happy if I'm on a horse, and having those fundamentals has actually helped a lot crossing over into cutting. You know, when I started riding cutters, I already had a good understanding of, you know, how to move a horse's body and how to sit balanced and, you know, all those things I needed to know. So I still go back to those roots, and, you know, I'm thankful I got to ride with so many different trainers and do so many different disciplines growing up, because it all helps.
On that note, let me ask quick, on that note, when you're bringing somebody in from one of the other disciplines, English, Western, doesn't matter, what's the most common mistake they make? And I'm assuming I know the answer, but I want to hear it.
I mean, my most repeated phrase is put your hand down, because everybody wants to pick their hand up and control. So
there you go.
That's one of the big things.
Was my answer.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is just teaching people to relax their upper body. You know, we ride with kind of a slouch, and, you know, anybody that's ridden like hunt seat or pleasure and has been told to sit up and sit upright, it's a little bit of an adjustment. So that's kind of the two big things I repeat over and over and over again, for sure.
Well, and I think I've told this story before, but I had a cutting bred quarter horse growing up, and I took him team penning one time, and I didn't know anything. I was just learning, and he didn't really know anything. But the minute we got in there with the cows, his instinct took over, and he actually dipped down to do like a really cool cutting horse move. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? No, let's not. And I just very gently tapped him with my foot, just instinctively. And he was like, okay, I won't do that. And then later I was like, no, you idiot. Why did you get in the way?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, I was a kid. I didn't know. But it was just later I realized, oh, man, I got right in his way. I stopped him from doing what he knew he was supposed to do. But it was the most fun I'd ever had.
Yeah.
You know, so it really is so fun to watch and to do. But, yeah, I can totally – I made that mistake. I got in his way.
Well, you're definitely not the first or the last, so – don't feel too bad.
how do you run the session? How will you run the session at Equine Affair if somebody comes to watch? What will they see?
So I've got what we call a real cow machine I'm going to bring with me. So, I mean, it's basically like a cow on a remote control. So it's a really big tool in my program because I can control what's happening. So, you know, typically when I start a session, I mean, we're going to do a couple different sessions. We'll probably do one kind of green horse session, you know, introducing them to cattle, and then we'll have a session more with finished horses. But regardless, we'll kind of start with some dry work fundamentals. You know, it's important to understand how to ride the stop, ride the turnaround, make sure we've got a good handle on our horse. And then, you know, that real cow machine, I can just kind of put all the elements together. And it's just nice, you know, if I need to stop and talk about something, I can. If we need to speed things up, slow things down, you know, I can control a lot more versus being on a live cow. And then we will finish up the sessions. I believe we're going to be lucky enough to have some live cattle. So we'll work some live cattle as well. So yeah, a little bit of everything.
That'll be fun to see the difference between the remote control cow and the real cow.
yeah, for sure.
I've never seen a remote control cow. Have you, Glenn?
Yes, I have. They're kind of fun. Yeah. It's kind of fun that with the technology, they've come a long way, actually, in the last 10 or 15 years, haven't they? They really are cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually just got mine in October. We usually use what we call a flag, which is just basically a string on the wall, and you can run it back and forth. And that's a great tool, too. But yeah, the real cow machine's becoming really, really popular just because, you know, you have that three-dimensional aspect. So especially in teaching lessons, like I can even move it, teach people how to cut a cow out of the herd. And, you know, there's a lot you can do with it. And it's nice that it's so portable. Like I can just throw it in my trailer. I've taken it to the shows with me. Or if I go teach some lessons at another barn, I can just drive it right on my trailer and take it with me. So that's pretty cool. Pretty cool feature too.
Well, it's really cool because, I mean, some people who maybe live somewhere where they can't access their own cattle, or they can't, you know, or they're taking lessons somewhere where you don't keep cows on the property. I mean, that's just a really cool tool to have. And so you can practice your skills without having to feed the cows every day.
Yep. Absolutely.
What's the first thing you tell somebody? Okay. They've never done cutting before. Maybe they're, you know, even a trail rider, pleasure rider, whatever they were before. What's the first thing that you tell somebody?
Well, first thing I do is warn them how addicting it is and how expensive it is. Because,
described every horse sport in the world.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, I haven't had a lot of people try cutting that don't, you know, instantly get hooked on it. I mean, once you put your hand down on a cow and work a cow, I mean, it's kind of game over. Most people are in hook, line, and sinker. But yeah, I mean, and I'm really lucky to have lesson horses, and, you know, I try to get as many people into the sport as I can. But yeah, I mean, it's very addictive. Once you do it, it's hard to get your mind off of it. Most people don't just do one lesson and not come back. They're usually pretty hooked on it.
Well, and you have a pretty robust lesson program. Just kind of looking at your website down in Ohio, how can people learn more about you and maybe come take lessons from you?
Yeah, so we've got a website. It's zoewoodland.com. There's no Y in my name, so just Zoe Woodland. So yeah, and you can go on there, get all our info. You can actually schedule lessons right on there. Yeah, we are really blessed. We've got a really great lesson program, a lot of good lesson horses. I've got a few assistants that help me teach that are wonderful. So we can cater to most anyone at our place. So yeah, if anybody wants to check the website out, and like I said, all our contact info is on there. So if anybody wants to come try it, and especially if you want to come try riding a cutting horse, we are all about getting people into it. So.
And then do you also compete in addition to giving lessons?
Yes. Yeah, I compete. We show NCHA. I've won $350,000. So I've been very blessed, had a good career. So I really, really enjoy showing the aged event horses. You know, I had a good 3-year-old last year. That was really fun. Really like the process of, you know, starting a horse from the beginning and seeing them turn into a show horse. That's a lot of fun for me. So, but yeah, we're going to start showing here in February. We usually kind of take a couple months in the winter to slow down, but yeah, we show from early season all the way through the fall at the cuttings and travel quite a bit. This year we went everywhere from New Mexico to Texas to Canada. So we hit the road and showed quite a bit.
Perfect. So you've been everywhere.
And
soon you'll be coming to the Equine Affair because it's less than 100 days until Equine Affair in Ohio. So
yeah, that's hard to believe.
Didn't we just do the one in Massachusetts like 2 minutes ago?
In fact, the less than 100 day mark happened like December 30th, and I was not emotionally prepared for that. I was like, oh no, it just, oh gosh. Okay. So if you want to learn more about Zoe and you want to learn from her and you want to learn about cutting, you got to come to Equine Affair in Ohio and check out her sessions and see a remote control cow, among other things. And then if you want to visit her or take lessons or whatever, you go to zoewoodland.com. So thank you so much, Zoe, for coming on the show today and sharing a little bit about cutting.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was fun.
Well, in case you missed it, tickets to Equine Affair and Fantasia are on sale now. We know Fantasia sells out. You want to get your tickets ahead of time. Equine Affair in Ohio returns to the Ohio Expo Center in Columbus on April 9th through the 12th, 2026. Fantasia returns April 9th, 10th, and 11th. Get yours today at equineaffair.com. You don't want to wait, especially if you want to attend Fantasia. You need to get your tickets, especially for Saturday night. But equineaffair.com. Who's up next?
So up next, we have NRS. We have Jason Brooks with NRS. And we were, last year, we were really excited to bring NRS on. They had recently acquired Rods, who was one of our longtime sponsors, Rods Western. Yes,
NRS Rods is like the biggest thing in Ohio.
Well, now the biggest thing in Texas has bought the biggest thing in Ohio. Yeah, so NRS purchased Rods, and then we were lucky enough that they wanted to come to Equine Affair and sponsor with us last year and have a huge exhibit space, just like Rods always does. And so this year they're coming back, we're thrilled to say. They're going to sponsor the NRS Experience Pavilion, which is the covered arena attached to the Bricker Building. So formerly Rods Arena, it will now be the NRS Experience Pavilion. So we're really excited to partner with NRS. And today we're going to go behind the scenes and learn a little bit more about National Roper Supply with Jason Brooks. Well, hi, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So tell us, well, first of all, tell us where you're calling from. And I think Tassie told me that you might be at a pretty cool location right now.
We are in sunny Decatur, Texas, just northwest of the Fort Worth area in North Texas. And yeah, we're very fortunate. Our big flagship store where my office is sits on about 450 acres. We have a little ranch here, and I get to look out my office window at a windmill and pretty good view of the ranch. So we get to kind of stay close to our roots.
Are there ponies? Are there ponies nice at the ranch?
There are a few. I can't see any from my window, but there are a few. There are a few horses down there. Yep,
okay.
For sure.
Yay.
I love how 450 acres is a little ranch.
Yeah, I know. I thought that too, actually.
Well, there's some places out west of here that's a small pasture for these guys.
Yes.
So we're not quite that big yet. So.
I got to tell a funny story, Jason. I've been doing this show for shows like this for 18 years, and I come from the English side. So 450 acres is like a mammoth property, right? Yeah. And the first time I asked a Western guy that was a guest on the show how many acres, because we do that in the English world, because, you know, it's usually 10 or 20.
Yeah,
and
sure.
he shut me down and said, that's rude to ask. And I never knew it was rude to ask, because in the English side, it wasn't a problem. But I got shut down that day.
My dad used to caution me about that, and he said, you ask some of these old, especially these Texas cattlemen, and they'd say, you know, you ask them how much land you have, and they'd say, not enough when it's dry and too much when it's wet, kind of deal. And and they'd never tell you, you know, what they had.
It's funny.
I love that. I didn't know it was rude either.
Oh, so it's rude.
I didn't ask. He volunteered, okay?
Volunteered.
Yeah,
that's true.
I volunteered. You guys are off the hook for sure.
Roll back the tape. There's the truth. Well, and I saw a picture. I did a little peeking at the website and everything, and I saw a picture of the ranch, and it looked really cool. Just what a neat, like, it really is connected. You don't have to go far. You're not going to forget where you're from or what company you're working with. You know, you're with NRS if you're on the ranch, literally. So
yeah, that's true.
Tell us a little bit about NRS for those in our audience who might not know. You guys have been around for more than 30 years at this point, but tell us a little bit about what is it?
Yeah, we're kind of working on, I think you're number 37 now, founded in 1989. And really interesting, I know we don't have enough time to tell you the whole story, but our founder, David Isham, moved up to Wise County out in the country out of the Fort Worth suburbs when he was 7 years old and was a city kid, basically. And his first day of school, his locker was next to a local kid here that came from a ranching family, and they team roped and obviously had horses and everything. And he was quickly invited over to be around horses and ride horses and eventually rope cattle and just grew up kind of with this ranching family and just fell in love with the Western lifestyle. I mean, just fell in love with it. And so he goes on and begins team roping, and he college rodeos in college and goes to Abilene Christian University, gets an accounting degree, and comes back out, and he's an accountant for PricewaterhouseCoopers in Dallas, driving a single cab dually that he pulls his horse trailer with, trying to park it in those parking garages over in Dallas. And as soon as he could, he left there and came back and bought a little Western store in Decatur, Texas, and started building what has become NRS. And the reason I tell you that story is it's kind of a real, real big piece of what we've become. David didn't grow up with horses until the age of seven. And he developed such a passion for the Western lifestyle and for horses and for animals. And so his passion as he built this business was he wanted to invite other people into that lifestyle. And it's funny because we talked about the ranch thing where you're not supposed to ask people, you know, the size of their place. There's all these little quirky things about kind of our Western culture. And they're the thing that makes it really neat. But also, like, people that haven't been a part of it, like, we can be pretty exclusive. Like, all of a sudden you can be like, oh, you're not wearing your hat the right way. You're not doing it. And our culture here has never really been that. It's like, we want to introduce people to the Western lifestyle. We want to be there next to them when they own their first horse. We want to help them, you know, learn how to be better horsemen and better stewards of, you know, what God's created. And so he buys this little Western store and starts learning how to do Western retail, and before too long produces his first black and white catalog, and he ends up calling it National Roper Supply, which has kind of been shortened over the years to NRS, and we just started building this business around Western apparel, boots, hats, but really good Western tack and the good stuff that you want to put on your horse or in your horse. We also carry animal health products. And so just over the last 36 plus years, we've added some stores and we've built that catalog and have been fortunate to work with a lot of the great brands in the industry that you would recognize and sponsor a lot of the associations out there, and have just built out of a little, you know, family-owned business. We've just kind of built a bigger business that's still family owned, and two of his kids actually still work in the business. One of them is actually the president, his son Cade. And so that's kind of the quick story of kind of where we came from. I will say, because of David's love of team roping and kind of that, we kind of built the brand in the rodeo world. And over time we've realized that our horse show customer out there that I think you guys probably talk to a lot, or our trail riding customer out there that you probably talk to a lot, is very similar and has the same values and ethics and love of this lifestyle. And then certainly our stock show customer, which we've kind of built a business there too. And so we're still growing and learning about our horse customers out there, even though we kind of grew up in like what we would call the core rodeo world. We're still kind of branching out and learning how to be relevant to those good people out there as well. So,
well, and I think with everything that you offer, on your, like, if you go on your website, it's just literally everything that a horse person could need or want. I think you're making great strides that way. And then also you, I mean, this is not really a secret. You guys bought Rods, who was our big Western presence in Ohio. Yeah. And honestly, hearing that story, I mean, you and Rods, it was sort of like parallel journey there. Tell us a little bit about how that developed. How did you guys decide, yeah, we're going to move into Ohio and we'll get to purchase Rods, and then, yeah, tell us that.
Certainly. So it's you know, people say this kind of frivolously, but there are some things that happen that you just like, was that a God thing? I mean, was that a God thing? Because at the same time David was building and growing his business, Rods was coming to be and growing, and we were actually competitors for years and years. I mean, Scott Hartle took that thing over and he was growing his business up in the Midwest. He produced a catalog just like we did. And David and Scott would cross paths over the years, and they, you know, we weren't close enough to be bitter enemies, you know, kind of thing. And they would share information, and sometimes they'd trade lists for their catalogs, and they both kind of grew in their own right at over the same period of time. And we're at NRS, we're not super aggressive from a growth standpoint. We kind of just work on ourselves. And so one day when Scott can tell this story better, and I don't want to say anything that, you know, that's inaccurate, but mm-hmm. David gets a call from Scott, and it's time for him to, he needs to retire and kind of enjoy some of his success. And it wasn't planned until that phone call happened. And it was really kind of an honor to David for Scott to call him and kind of offer him this kind of treasure that he had been building his whole life. And so we started talking, and you know, one thing led to another, and we ended up being able to acquire Rods. But the neat thing about that is, as we sat down and started talking with Scott and Anne Marie, who works in the business, his daughter, and we realized how much these two families had in common. Both family-owned businesses, both had children that worked in the business, both had what I would call our kind of down-to-earth Western lifestyle ethics and values and a Christian belief system that was very much the same. And that's, you know, Scott will tell you, that's one of the reasons he wanted to reach out to David is if somebody was going to take his business, he, you know, there are certain things that he had hoped for, you know, in that transition. And so, man, it was such a pleasure as a vice president of the company and someone that had to kind of work in that acquisition. It was such a pleasure to work with that family because they were so much like their culture and their values were so much like ours. We may approach business a little bit differently, but I just think the world of Scott Hartle. And so it was a really, really good transition. And that's, I think that's something I'd love for people to know. We've been fortunate, especially in the Southwest and in the rodeo community, to build a brand that NRS is, the brand's probably bigger than we really are. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, this big corporate company is coming over and taking over our favorite Western store. And we're really not. We're really so, so much like culturally the Hartle family and the people that built Rods. And so that's kind of the neat, kind of unique piece of this whole thing. And so we go into Ohio because we thought it was a great opportunity for us. He's built a great business, has an incredible customer, and really we have an opportunity to learn about a new customer and maybe some new disciplines that we're not perfect at and don't completely understand. So we thought it was a good opportunity for us. But we walk into that opportunity and we just think, man, this guy and his team have done such a great job building this company and this brand. We want to take care of it. We want to do a good job with it. And so there was certainly a lot of humility walking into that. And then as we've, and I know we'll talk about Equine Affair a little bit later, but as we've been able to get involved with some of the same associations and the same events that Rod was involved in, we really want to do a good job for the customer. We don't want somebody to walk in the door and go, well, it's not like it used to be at Rod's. These guys are messing it up. and so that kind of shared values and culture in that transition, I think has helped us. And I hope that people can see that we're not from Columbus, Ohio, but we're just a little up and coming family owned company and want to do a good job for the customer.
Well, and it builds a lovely bridge between Texas and Ohio, right? It's not like people from Ohio don't travel to Texas and vice versa. So it's really cool to see Texas kind of reaching out and touching down in Ohio. And then, yeah, you get to meet all the Western aficionados out here in the Midwest,
right?
and at Equine Affair. So
that's right.
So we were super excited. I mean, obviously we love Rod's. We've been working with Rod's for many years. And so we were excited about the chance to work with NRS last year. It was sort of a surprise a little bit, just like, oh, okay, we're doing this. And then now we're just so honored that you guys are back. You're coming back to Ohio this spring. What, kind of share with us what it means to you all to get to come to Equine Affair. What are you looking forward to? What new exciting things does that kind of open up? And I mean, what are you hoping to accomplish with our audience? What are you hoping to share and things like that with our horse people?
Certainly. I mean, from the beginning, we're horse people and we love horse people and we're super excited about meeting new horse people and building relationships with people in a different part of the country. I'll tell you, when we came to Equine Affair last year, I think the ink was barely dry on the deal of us purchasing rods. And it was like, oh, okay, we've got to go figure out how to do this show. And our systems aren't all put together yet. And, you know, all the things like what can we show up with? And so we went and we were able to get some product there for people and not exactly what, you know, the way we would have planned it, but we're so pleased to, man, I stood there for 3 days and shook hands with people from all over the Midwest, the Carolinas, Tennessee, up into the Northeast and the Southeast. I mean, I was blown away at the draw of people from different places that were horse enthusiasts that came in there. And that at some level, that's a new thing for us. Like we haven't been in that part of the country. And so we love, one of the reasons we do these events is, yeah, we like to sell stuff. that's our business, but it is so great to get out and just meet and talk to people and that share the passion that we have and get to know them and really kind of learn about our customer. And hopefully it'll make us better as a provider of products and to those people. But yeah, what we hope to do is to meet people, to understand how to become more and more relevant to their needs in that part of the world. And hopefully we're able to not just sustain what Rod's has been for them, but hopefully we can start building on that. And so it's as much about learning the customer there and learning how to be relevant to them as it is anything. And we certainly this year we've got plans to come in and really elevate what, you know, our presentation there of what, you know, what we did last year. We want it to be an experience. We want to bring great products from the brands that people are looking for, whether it's apparel or the best boot selection or the finest felt hats and straw hats for people that we love, as Rods did, to hand crease for those people. And then the best tack we can get our hands on, the best quality harness leather and other types of tack to offer those people. And then just ask questions and learn, and hey, what do you need from us? How can we better serve you in this, you know, in the market? And so that's a mouthful, but that's our hope.
Absolutely. Well, and Equine Affair is the place to do that. So we're super excited. If people want to shop and meet your staff and learn more about NRS, you'll be in the Bricker building. It'll be hard to miss. NRS will have a huge exhibit. And so we're just honored and excited to get to work with NRS a second year in a row and hopefully continue on with that partnership. And you're also the sponsors of the NRS Experience Pavilion. It'll be one of our clinic arenas. So thank you so much, Jason, for coming on and sharing a little bit about this new to us brand. We really appreciate it.
Well, we really appreciate you guys working with us, and I appreciate you having me on. And you know, I just want to say you guys do an excellent job. If nobody's been to the website and seen all of the information about the Equine Affair and all the things that they can get involved in, it is so well organized from informationally, and really just kind of a first class presentation there. And from a guy that for the last 17, 18 years has gone to a lot of shows, you guys do an incredible job. And so we're super excited to be a part of it.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
For sure.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Jason.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on again.
You can learn more about Equine Affair at our website, equineaffair.com, our Facebook page, or visit our YouTube channel. We also have our own separate podcast feed with only our episodes. So you can search for Equine Affair on your podcast player and look for our little purple horse, and you'll find us.
And you can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning on your favorite player, podcast player, to find all the shows of Horses in the Morning that we do 5 days a week. At the end of July, we will reach 4,000 episodes, which we think is one of about 10 podcasts from the all time that have reached 4,000 episodes. We think there's about 10. So be sure to check out all the other shows we also have at horseradionetwork.com.
We'll see you at Equine Affair.